Apparently today in the prayer room, God told someone that there was someone that had an issue with a left ear. And then there was someone in the prayer room before we even started church who said, "That's me." And so that person believed that Jesus was going to come and heal that ear. And today I just want to say that something happened as they prayed. And so we're going to just continue to believe that that ear that got prayed for and that the heart of the Lord was already expressed through the prayer meeting, stuff like that's going to happen today, because that's the kind of people that we are. We're listening. What's God want to do? What's Jesus doing amongst us? And he will actually respond as we step into things. So with that, is there anyone that has a sore right Achilles tendon? Anyone, just pop your hand up. Anyone that's got that happening here today that we can pray for? Trav, stand up, mate. Thank you. You need to help me with it. So you've got something going on with your leg? Come and tell us.
Yeah, I ruptured a ligament probably about a year ago. And then and so every time I run on it, extended periods of time, the Achilles kind of gets all just sore, and it's irritating. Yeah. Sure.
All right, so Trav's going to stand there, and I'm going to ask, is anyone from the School of Kingdom Ministry here? Yeah, these school people, they're like, we signed up for something last week, we've done 1 week. School of Kingdom, yep, Brenton, come on down. And someone else that just has a heart to pray. Let's pray. So we know Jesus is doing stuff because he's already started to do it. So here we go. Amy's going to get him to sit down.
Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your goodness. We pray right now that you would come and take the pain away in Trav's ankle. So in Jesus' name, we command you to be healed. Yeah. Come, Lord Jesus, in your power and your might. Come, Lord Jesus.
All right, so normally we just get it tested, then we see if there's any change. Make him run. And there are times that immediately we see Jesus doing stuff, and there are other times we're like, can we pray again? What are we up to? Pray again. Cool.
Yeah, Father, I just thank you that you are a God of many things, and healing is definitely one of them. And so we just pray right now for Trav's ankle, for his Achilles. Yeah. That you would just bring complete healing to it, Father, that there would be no more pain, that whatever muscles or tendons are still damaged, that you would just bring complete healing to them right now, Father, because you are a good God and you're a God that wants us to live and live our life fully, Father. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this leg and I command it to heal in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of infirmity to go. I command all trauma and the spirit of trauma to go from this ankle as well. I command full healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. May this be done to your glory, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, I felt some little poppy things.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not as stiff, but it's still sore, but it's not as stiff. And I felt little poppy things. So that's good.
Cool. Thank you, Trav. Thank you. Thank you, team. Well done. Let's give them a clap. Thank you, Lord. So, again, we'll just check in with Trav tomorrow and the next few days and see what's God been doing there. Thank you for those guys that were willing to come and take a risk with that as well. Let's pray. Lord, we're already filled with your fullness and your presence here, and we just ask now that as we come around this moment of today, that you would just release your spirit to open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see the fullness of all that you're saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've started the year with a bit of a bang. When we said last week it was a launch, it really was that term one of education, and everything was starting for a lot of people. So we thought, let's get on the back of that. We are starting not only the activity of all the life groups and all the things that have been happening amongst us as a church, but everything's kind of hit the ground running, hasn't it? We know even today there are people off doing things with their schools, and we're just so grateful that the fullness of life has already pulled us in. And so today, I just want to recognize that there are times when the Holy Spirit's wanting just to focus in on something that may be familiar to us. So it might be that he's going to be breathing truth on something that will feel like, yeah, I think we've heard this before, but this is the analogy that I feel like is going to happen today. Imagine that I've got this big tree full of fruit just here, and it's representing the promises of God over your life and over our life as a church and as a community. And this big tree here often represents the promises that he's given through scripture, but also prophetically. And today, what I'm going to be talking about is like grabbing this tree and shaking those promises until the fruit drops. Okay, so it feels like it's actually a quote from Martin Luther. He actually says, when we read the Bible, there are times that we actually have to have it like a tree where the scriptures that we are grabbing, we actually need to grab onto them and shake them with all our might until those promises and the fruit drop and they land. And sometimes the tree can be really easily just pick the fruit off and it's ready. And there's other times that we've just got to keep wrestling and keep shaking until that fruit drops and we get to enjoy the luscious fruit. So today we're going to be moving towards something of his promise over us, and maybe just looking at it a different layer, looking at it with a different perspective, or it may be just that it's you'll be going, yeah, I'm in for that. And so I want you to think about just that we're living in a world that is very much focused on the temporary, right? If your fridge breaks down, you go and get a new one. There's always going to be something temporary happening, and our relationships even actually, they often look a bit temporary. Think about marriages, think about family at the moment, think about community, think about churches, think about the generation that we're in. Very often our perspective is about temporary. And I think it's a target of the enemy when he's trying to trick us that we're actually not living eternal lives. He tries to trick us and say we're living temporary lives and that things are always going to pass away. And he's actually empowered. The enemy is empowered when we believe that our relationships are temporary and they can be easily discarded. And so today we're going to have a look at what it looks like to be looking at the perspective of relationships, community, family, marriages, whatever relationships we have, as not temporary but actually eternal. Lifelong. What if we value our relationships to the point that they're a lifetime long? That we're supposed to be in eternal relationships as the body of Christ? What if we are actually looking at kingdom relationships that are meant to last a lifetime? Now, if we value them in that way and say relationships are supposed to be protected and preserved and also fed into, then we actually will fight for the things that we value for, right? Now, when we talk about fighting for, if I said to you, come and fight with me, I don't mean come and box and have a fight with me. When I say come and fight with me, we are fighting for something. We're fighting for a cause, and I'm saying come and fight with me and stand next to me because we are going to fight for relationships being things that last. Relationships being eternal, and relationships being something that is not temporary, because that's a trick of the enemy. So the fight we're in is to preserve our relationships. And one of the ways that we can do that is through the gift of unity and honour. So today we're going to have a look at that. So I think it was 2 weeks ago, a couple of us drove down to Geelong, to the vineyard down there, because there were some new lead pastors being installed and they were being commissioned for that day. And we all love them because they used to come to this church, Ruth and Sam Buscombe, right? Do you remember that? And so that weekend, a few of us went down there. And as I went into that room, I was just stunned again with the goodness of God about who they are. Here's a backstory. When I was a teacher years and years and years and years ago, my very first school was, I was sent far, far away because I was one of those people that said, send me anywhere, God. And he did. He sent me right up to Corryong, which is miles away from where I lived and miles away from Melbourne where I studied, but it was the most beautiful place. In Corryong, in my grade two, in my circle of friends was a little boy called Nick Buscombe. My very first teaching year, grade 2, Nick Buscombe was in my class. Nick is the older brother of Sam, who just got installed and commissioned in the Vineyard Church. So I'm teaching as a young, naive teacher, and I meet this beautiful family, and then years later, the older brother, Mark, who was in grade 4 at that time, sorry, it was in grade 1 at that time, he came down to Bible college, and he came to this church. Mark did. And then little brother Sam, he came later as well. And they went to Bible college and they went to this church and they met beautiful girls and they got married. And those beautiful girls were from this church. So I was sitting in this room aware of 20 plus years, a lifetime of this young Sam, who I knew as a kid, is now leading a Vineyard church. And Mark, his brother, is also doing that. And God introduced me to that family 20 years ago. Now, I'm not saying I was a big part of that story, but I love being a part of that story. This is the kind of expectation we can have about friendships and relationships, even right now, that you are going to see things develop and you're going to see things grow in the people sitting amongst you. And even this year, you're going to see something in people that are sitting in your row that maybe you've never seen before, because God's doing something new. And it will be amazing goodness, and you'll be able to jump in alongside it and say, I'm going to fight for you and with you towards those goals that God's put on your heart. So we're looking at a lifetime of relationships, because we're meant to have relationships that last that long in the body of Christ. That is his aim. So one of the ingredients in the recipe of a lifetime of relationships is honour. And honour is a place where we can make something safe, an environment that is safe, so that everyone will feel that they can bring themselves without any falseness. And you feel safe enough to be able to offer, free enough to be able to offer all of who you are without any dysfunctions. But dysfunctions are going to be part of our healing, right? We're going to move from dysfunction into a place of freedom if that's where we're stuck. So honour is a relational tool that protects the value of those people that are around you. Because you see, when there's no honour, people are afraid. Have a think about it. When there's no honour, people are afraid. And when people are afraid or insecure, what happens? They want to control stuff. They want to control the circumstance. So fear creates control in relationships. But if we're in an environment where there is no fear and there is love, people can be themselves without fearing being knocked down or fearing being rejected. So 1 John 4 says that we are, that perfect love casts out all fear. Guess what? Fear also casts out love. So if fear is anywhere in our environment or our hearts, we're going to see that that's going to work against love. Apparently, Thomas Jefferson is credited with saying, free people are the most difficult to lead. Free people are the most difficult to lead. Unbelievable? Have you ever heard of herding cats? Free people are often the most difficult to lead. And so that's why I want to talk about the more freedom that comes to us, the more we need to recognize a difficulty will rise with the freedom. Have you ever noticed Christians that are free to speak often disagree with one another? You wouldn't have noticed that, surely. So often when freedom rises, disagreements also rise at the same time. Think about it. When people walk in freedom, they'll say and they'll do what they want and they'll demonstrate to all that they are free and that conformity is no longer part of their language, right? You can think of some free people that operate in that way. And a lot of that will clash with our Christian mindset and with our culture if we don't know how to handle freedom. And so free people are not terribly interested in putting on a facade and pretending to be someone. They're free. And we love that. We want freedom. We sang about it today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So this is what we're after. This is where we're going. And We need relationship tools so that we know how to handle our freedom, so we can protect it and we can also see God create more of it. And then we can sustain that freedom. And when people come into our world, we then recognize they can become freer as well, because we've learned how to handle that. So free people cannot live together without honor. And honor can only be successful or helpful in relationships if we have empowered people that know how to handle freedom. So if you look at last year on our slide, we had three areas that we realized that God was asking us to seek after and push into: connection, transformation, and obedience. Now, connection, we saw connection even last week with all the life groups and the growth that's going on with the life groups. But connection is something that is devastating any isolation in our lives. If we are seeking connection with God and with each other, isolation is no longer going to be part of the story for us or for you or for those that join us, because they will be immediately connected and will be closing the gap on isolation. I loved that drone picture because it just was such a representation of us. We're all together, we're waving and we're saying, come on in. And we are inviting connection through all sorts of ways. So transformation was the second one, and transformation is actually a thorough and dramatic change in form or appearance. Have you ever seen someone go through a transformation? Have you ever noticed what happens when someone is looking very different because they've transformed? Something new has happened, something we've never seen before with them. And so if you think about our process with Jesus and the renewal of our minds, we can expect transformation is going to continue to be a core part of who we are, because we're living in a dynamic relationship with Jesus, and this new life is going to just ooze out of us and it's going to change us. Very often, if you see someone that has newly connected with Jesus, you can actually see their face change over time. Have you noticed that? I love it when the countenance of people change because they've received transformation. But if you think about, did anyone go to a really formal school where there were academic gowns and maybe really formal rituals? Anyone do that? Anyone have the privilege of doing? A few of you? Yeah, see, some of them are not even, oh, be free to be you, be free. So if you're not sure about what that might have felt like, often in institutions like that, they're known for something that's predictable, right? Routine. There are assemblies on a day that you knew was going to happen and how it was going to happen. Correct? They're all nodding, yeah? So if you are involved in an institution where something's been very formal, very predictable, it's unlikely that you're going to have to think for yourself, right? Right? They're kind of nodding, yes. Because, you know, you're going to be told what to do and you're going to be told where to be, and you're just going to do that and you're going to show up like that. In a place where there's freedom to be transformed, the first thing that happens with transformation, and you might even think about this with church culture, is the questions come out, why are you doing what you do? Why do we have to do it this way? Is this actually working? As those questions rise, we actually see institutions changing, because people are starting to say, is that relevant anymore? Is that only part of the heritage, or is there something else that's going to make it more effective? So transformation in institutions can also change to something new that we've never seen before. And we have got that opportunity as a church. We're asking the questions, not because we're an institution, but because we've got routines and we've got things that are happening weekly and we've got things that are normal to us. And we're starting to say, God, is there anything else you want to say to us about our way of life together that's going to bring something new for this season? Because change then will demonstrate to the world that there's something new going on here in you and in us. So transformation's a big one, not just for your relationship with Jesus, but also with what's happening with us. And the third one is just obedience. We kind of pushed into that a little bit last year as well, where we were just realizing we want to be a people that if God says something, we respond. And it comes from love. Love is obedience. Obedience is love. Have I got that right? That was a sermon from Adam, just making sure I'm quoting him well. Love is obedience, obedience is love. So that's where we're heading from, that's where we were last year. So this first ingredient, honouring God. Honour, the first thing we do when we get together, the first thing that we do when we open our eyes in the morning is we're worshippers and we honour him. In Revelation, there is an account constantly of what's going on with the everlasting honour of God. He's saying, John is saying, and he's writing Revelation, he's saying, this is what I saw. It's happening now. We get to be a part of it. And let's have a look at Revelation 5, verse 12. What's being sung to God in the theme of honour? How is honour happening around the throne? And it says here, Revelation 5, verse 12, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power. How long for? Forever and ever. A lifetime, forever and ever. This is the honour that God deserves. And if we flicked over to Revelation 7, there's another great multitude. And here John's saying, I looked and there before me was a great multitude. We couldn't count it. It was from every nation, every tribe, people and language, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then if we duck down to verse 11 on the slide, it says they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Let's say this all together, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. This is what's happening every time, every moment of the day, forever and ever and ever. Rob read a passage earlier today as we were worshipping, and it's a passage we're going to turn to now, Romans 12, being a living sacrifice. So we honour God through our worship, we honour God as we join in the activity of heaven, and we also honour God by looking at Revelation 12 being a living sacrifice. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then Romans 12 goes on to talk about the gifts of grace that are among us as we worship, as we gather together. It says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, and each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then he talks about the body, and he talks about all the gifts that are available to us as we gather and as we're part of the body. And then if we duck down to verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, and here it is, outdo one another in showing honour. Don't be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. This is what honouring God looks like in relationships with others. And it says in the New Living Translation, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring one another. Do you take delight in honouring one another? Is it a delight for you to do that? Is it something that just flows? Because life flows through honour. So Danny Silk, if you have heard any of his teaching, he's used to be at Bethel, he's now with Jesus Culture. He's written books and books and books and training on honour. So I've pulled some of his words out because they are so good and they describe this principle of honour where life flows through honour. And he says that life flowing through honour looks like this. It's accurately acknowledging who people are. And that will position us to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in their lives. So can you see how the enemy has tricked us that if we're not honoring others, we don't get to receive what they bring to us? And so honor creates this life-giving, life-promoting relationship. And that is why life groups is what we call them. Because we're expecting that whenever you're connecting in weekly groups, that you're going to see life promoting amongst one another. You're going to see life-giving relationships, and it may even last a lifetime if you give yourself to it. So if we think about our names and think about our titles, it's really important that we're actually talking amongst each other and relating with the right names and titles, because they're important. So son, daughter, mother, father, prophet, teacher, all these names are important because they bring to us not only a person's role, but also their identity. So we are then relating to them in a way that God has destined them to be. It's who they've been made to be. But those God-designed relationships, they have rewards if we honor them through their right roles and through their right identities. And so where our job is to discern and to receive from people their very best version of themselves. That's our job. And then to help promote those very best versions of themselves so that others get to see it as well. So for example, if you think about the word royal priesthood, which is a title given to you if you know Jesus, in 1 Peter 2 it says you're chosen people, you're a royal priesthood. Have a think about how that would identify you and how that would change the way you relate to the people sitting around you if you recognize they're royal people. If you recognize we've got royalty in the room, what would that change in the way we saunter into Sundays, or we go to work, or we go into our classrooms? If we are aware of who we are, and if we are aware of those around us being royal, then our relationships are going to be shaped with the resources we have to take wider than ourselves. And so we are looking at honouring because it's something then will flow out from our truest identity, and it's also something that's going to help us grow in safety and freedom to be able to increase and see God move further into our community, where we're going to see growing connections, bringing transformation and obedience, which will bring more and more freedom because life flows through honour. So number one in our next slide, glory in or promote is one of the ways that we talk about honour. And kabod is the way that we talk about it in ancient language from the Bible. Because if we read Exodus 20:12, the very first command we get is to honour God and then honour your mother and father, right? Exodus 20:12 says, honour your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honour gives you more life, long days in the land that God's giving you. If we protect those vital relationships, starting with our mother and our father, then we know that we're going to have the God's blessing upon us. And that word honour is actually something really weighty. It's really something that makes the other person glorious in our eyes, and we're seeing them and we're promoting them. That holds so much, that word honour, kabod. It means to be even heavy. It's carrying weight when we're actually honouring our mother and our father. Now, some of you might be going, hang on. What if my mum and dad, they're a little bit crazy or they're jerks? What if my mum and dad are actually not nice people? Am I still supposed to honour them? Yes. This is one tip that I found really helpful for people that are finding it hard to honour their parents. Look for the glory of God that's actually in them, because they have breath and they've been made by God. Look for the glory of God deposited in your mum and your dad, and lock into that and onto that, and drag that part of them to the surface, the glory of God that's hidden in them, drag it to the surface in your relationship with them. So as you relate to them, reach in and see the deposits from God in their lives and lock into it and start to promote that. Because, you know, there are two ways to bring an inheritance from our parents into our life. One of the ways is through honor, and the other way is through unforgiveness. You can bring an inheritance from your parents from past generations by what connects you to them. Is your connection through honor, or is it through unforgiveness? What you connect to is what you inherit. So honor is a way of connecting to the glory that God has put in and intended for you to carry through in lifelong relationships. It's not something that in your inheritance that is supposed to stop at certain generations. We get to grab and pull the best out of our parents because God's put that in them, and then we get to take them to future generations. It's the currency of heaven flowing from life and from the throne and from our relationship with Jesus. So I just want to pause on that. Is there anything that God's stirring in you with those two points of connection where you might be connected through honor and you're celebrating what you're seeing in your parents, or you might be struggling and connecting with unforgiveness? Part of what's going to shift as we start to realize how we're connecting with our parents is that you're going to start to see changes in relationships in your family. So the next point is to elevate the status of another. So the Lord has given us, we're shaking the tree, remember, about honor, and we're waiting for this fruit to come down. And he's saying one of the ways that you can do honor really well in your life is to elevate others and to bring their status up to a new level. And so we know that happens through Jesus, and we know that that's happened to us, that he's transferred his status, royalty, he's transferred his status that we get to have a relationship with the Father now, and he's given us his life, and so we are elevated into new places, seated in heavenly places is where you are. And so we also get to do that for others around us as well. If you want to stay in a servant relationship with God, if you want to be about obedience, and if you want to not have to think for yourself, he's okay with that, but he wants more than that for you. He wants you to be a son, not a slave. He wants you to be a friend. There's a lot of freedom in your relationship with the Father. And he's first of all honored Jesus, and then he's honored you alongside Jesus. Third point is to just give prestige to somebody. It's the kind of honor and awe and high opinion that is inspired by high-ranking, influential, successful people. You're like, oh, that's not me. But remember, we're royalty. And so remember, welcome to the land of royalty. This is it. We have been seated in, we are seated in the heavenly places with Jesus in our spirits already. Welcome to the land of royalty that's heaven on earth right now. So you can bring prestige to somebody, and you can also receive that from God. Remember the come fight with me? Come fight with me means that together we're going to bring other people into a place of prestige through our relationships with Jesus. And the fourth point, great respect and admiration. So respect is this feeling of admiration towards somebody or something, and admiration is this feeling of pleasure and approval and wonder. I want to just lock into and shake that word wonder a little bit. Are you searching? Are you attentive? Are you looking for the wonder of God in other people? Or is it all about you? Are you looking and seeking about how wonderful others are, and you wanting to protect them in that? Or is it all about you? Very often, I get reframed on this. Reframing is a really good word for new thinking. And so often I have a couple of friends, and they'll say, if I'm having a bad day, they'll say, do you want to reframe that, Di? And I'm like, yeah, can you help me with that? And so let me give you an example, some really practical ways of reframing and of being honoring in our relationships. Brené Brown has done research for years and years and years on shame. She's a researcher, now she's a writer and an author. That's the same thing. And she's a speaker, and she also has lots of TED Talks, and she's just amazing. She seems to have found a language that really suits kingdom language, even though she wouldn't be saying that's what she's doing. So, for example, reframing with her, she says, see if any of these sound familiar. She says, if someone doesn't ring you back, do you start to think, oh, they're rude? If someone cancels a meeting or something with you, are you convinced that they had another offer and they've gone to do something else and they've left you behind? If someone in your family forgot to give you an address where you had to go and pick up something, would you view your family member as hopeless? If you go out for a meal and the person there asks you to pay the bill, are you then assuming that they're a freeloader? Any of those sound familiar? Have you ever had anything like that happen? Here's what Brené says. If these are the environments we're in, our response could be that we immediately judge what's happening for that person and how that affected us. Or, she says, assume positive intent. Assuming that people are trying to do the very best that they can. The big reframing is, if you're having a situation where you're never quite sure what's going on with that person and they've disappointed you, reframe it and say, I'm sure they're doing the very best they can. For some of us with our parents, I'm sure they were doing the very best they can. For some of us with people in our workplace, I'm sure they're doing the very best they can. Assume that they're doing the best they can with what they know. So that's a skill, a relationship tool that helps us to honour. Another skill is setting boundaries yourself so that that doesn't change your day, that your day doesn't get affected by someone else wanting you to pay for them, that your day doesn't get affected if someone doesn't reply to your text, because you've got boundaries and you know who you are and you know you're loved. And so a skill is just say, I assume the best, that they're trying the best that they can. It's not going to change my day. That's one key tip for being honouring in our relationships. The other one is just be kind. Honour looks like kindness. And so even if we are having trouble honouring someone because they're not maybe up to the level that they need to be in their relationship with you, then you can still be kind, and that's bringing honour to that relationship. Now for me, I just wanted to finish with telling you a story of why honour is so important for me. Because part of the way you see me leading this church at the moment is because honour is a really big core value. And I learned something about honour when, you know, January 26th, there's always an honours list, right? Well, we can honour people in the nation. We can honour people in our community. We can honour people in our families. We can honour people face to face. Well, I had the very great privilege of seeing my dad being honoured nationally. Yeah, with this medal. Order of Australia. I know. So, you know, we're country people, and he lived in Mildura, and for years and years and years and years, he served his community in so many different ways. You know, so many ways that often we'd have his hat on was a parole officer, and so he'd have people that had just got out of jail coming and having meals with us, or it might be that he's serving through Rotary and sending money overseas, but he served in many, many different ways. So my dad, someone nominated him to receive an honour. For him to get that honour, it took someone else to observe what was going on over years, over a lifetime, and that recognition then had to be spelt out in a very long document, nominated them with four references, four referees to say, yep, he did that. Honour is actually messy, but it's also something that takes time. You've got to be intentional. For him to receive an honour like that took someone else to recognise what he'd done. We often wait for the honour when we could actually be doing that nomination bit. Not talking about nationally, but maybe there are some people in the room that nationally we could think about. But even in our one-on-one relationships, we're waiting for someone else to recognise honour in ourselves. And the process is that you have to nominate honour. You have to nominate it, recognise it, and bring it to the people. So Rob Hocking, my dad, he received recognition for the Order of Australia Medal for his service to community in 2010. 2010, his name came out as an honour on the list, January 26, and that year he fought a battle with cancer that we didn't know if he was going to be able to receive that medal because he was in last stages of cancer. And so my brother and I said, we've got to ask him, does he want to get to that ceremony? So we went and said, Dad, what do you want to do? Because he was in so much pain, pretty much unable to walk. But he received it. He had been acknowledged, but he wanted to receive it. He wanted to publicly receive from the Governor General that medal. It was important to him. So the next picture shows what we did. Really bad because it was like, oh, I've got to take a photo of this. We flew him down from Mildura. He was like the Pope getting off the plane because he couldn't walk down steps. We're standing there going, is he all right? We're ready with the wheelchair. And then you can't even see this picture because I was running behind him in his little trolley with the wheelchair on the back. That's him, you know, those motorized taxi things. My brother and I are running behind going, he's in Melbourne. We've got him this close to the ceremony. It was hard work. We had to serve him to get him to the place of receiving honour. That's a little bit what lifetime relationships look like, isn't it? That we step up, we come alongside and we fight for what's important. And here he is with my mum. He looks not well, does he? But he was able to stand up from his wheelchair, walk and receive his medal. And this is him a few minutes later. How good is that? So he died that next year, but we were able to celebrate that he got to be recognised, not only in a list, he got to be recognised with a medal that was pinned to his chest and a moment that we will remember is worth fighting for, getting him there. That's what he wanted. So that's part of my story. That's part of my heart. He was someone that served the community. And so I've got something that I'm pulling from him that he has shown me, and I'm taking that into my life. And we are also sharing our stories. It may not be national recognition, but we're sharing each other's stories to make sure that the honour in your family line and the honour that God has given you through your inheritance in him gets recognized and also gets released so that you're in the place that you need to be where you're the freest person that you need to be to release honor to others and through your life. So my question today, as I give you a peek behind why honor is so important for me, but also why honor is so important for us, because it's a change of culture. It's an upside down culture, isn't it? Honour is upside down to what we're used to. Honour looks to the future and looks to the now, but we don't buy into being conformed, as Romans 12 says, being conformed to the culture that tells us everything's temporary. It's worth fighting for those people that are around you and honouring them. So my question today for you, is there something that God's connecting you to which is going to be bringing transformation, obedience and releasing honour in your world? Is there something that God is connecting you to or someone? How are you with him and honouring him? What's that look like in your life? Is that something that you're aware that you're doing regularly and you're honouring God through all of life as a living sacrifice? Is there someone in your life that needs to be recognised and honoured? And what does that look like? Because you get to bring your personal conviction. God's showing me that they need to be honoured. What does that look like for you to bring that to them? Is there something in you that God's wanting to honour today? And that you're just needing to hear his voice say, I really love this about you, and I honor you to this status next to Jesus, in Jesus and through Jesus. Life flows through honor. You are part of a big, glorious future. He's given you a status and he's offering you to accept that. He's elevating you into a place where he's wanting to pull out of you the very best he's put in you. Today we sang, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I just want to release freedom over us to be ourselves and freedom over us to release honor into our community. Let's stand. Interesting. Did you all kind of feel, oh, what's going on with the wind? Yeah? So Holy Spirit, sometimes it is you capture our attention in different ways. And right now, that wind just caught our attention. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, now that you would just come and that you would blow through our minds and our hearts and this place, so that we would just stand in a new place of freedom before God. Just want to release this people, this group, these hearts into the fullness of honor that you've given us, Lord, that we would accept and receive every part of royalty that you've given to us. Through the power of your Spirit, you've empowered us to be the body of Christ on earth. And the body of Christ is to reflect Jesus. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, that right now you're coming and you are honoring us as your family. You're honoring us as part of your plan. You're lifting us up beyond our circumstances into an eternal place, that we are going to have friendship with you forever. We're going to have life with you forever. So I just release your blessing, Father. Just release your Spirit to bring honor to all those that are receiving right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. May you go out in freedom and joy today, and may you be strengthened and honored as you see what God's doing amongst your families, your community, your workplace, and where you are daily. Bless you all.